Well, we'll begin in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33, and then we'll pray. So a few verses to read here. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all the people that are here tonight, Lord, who have come to seek your face in prayer and to hear your word. Father, I pray that you help me as I deliver your word, Lord, that it's timely and it reaches those who need to hear it, Father, and that you would speak to them in your individual way to each of them, that it would help them in their walk with you. Father, we pray that we would receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord wants us to look to him for all of our needs. We live in a world full of distractions. If we focus on the earthly things in life, rather than the one who has made all things and has power over all of them, we'll waste our energy and we simply won't be useful to God. In the verses we read in Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus is urging us to get our priorities straight. Our cares about our material needs are futile. As our Lord illustrates in verse 26 and 28 to 29, just as God ensures both food and clothing for lesser creatures, the birds of the field and the lilies, God ensures these things for people. He alone is the one who provides these. It's obvious in nature God has this power, while people's worries, on the other hand, accomplish absolutely nothing. In verse 27 we read, when the Lord said, who can make themselves taller by thinking about it? No one is the answer to that. Your anxious thoughts about food and clothing achieve nothing. The flesh is troubled by these things because it's an issue of faith. The flesh is impatient. It is impulsive. While the spirit, which walks by faith, cultivates contentment and patience. Our next scripture is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You see that any one of us living in Australia or any other first world economy is already enjoying these things. They have no cause whatsoever to feel discontent. Your food and raiment are taken care of. Desiring anything more is simply covetousness. The Christian also enjoys a guarantee of the physical necessities. God has promised it in his word. Let me read Proverbs 37:25 to you. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Lord has a fatherly concern for your well-being, far exceeding any earthly fathers. We have had the power upon being saved. We were unable before receiving Jesus Christ. We have had the power to become the sons of God, to be His children. We have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. That's Romans 8:15. Now, I looked this word up in the original Greek. Abba is not a term of endearment like daddy or pops. There were people in the Pentecostal church we came out of who used to talk about that word that way. It's a simple way of saying that He is literally our parent, according to biblical scholars. We can truthfully say that He is our Father. We can expect of Him the same treatment a legitimate son or daughter would enjoy. As adopted children, we are His own. This means you can depend on Him with childlike dependence. In fact, you must. It is a requirement if you want to be saved. You must totally renounce your own independence. Turn with me to Matthew 18, verses 3 to 4. Now this is the Lord speaking to the multitude, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's essential to lean on God's promises without question, as a child does. You can tell a little child anything, and they'll take you at your word, whether it's true or not. But we know God is always true. You can always take His authenticity for granted. He says that He will take care of us, that we are His children, and He knows our infirmities as well. Little children are helpless on their own. Any person knows a child who's neglected, who's left without an adult to take care of them, will very probably die from starvation or thirst or some other misadventure pretty quickly. Children have no ability whatsoever to look after even the most basic needs. Have you ever considered just how vulnerable they are? It's a scary thought for a parent, but the truth is, that's what parenthood is about. You naturally understand that the little person in your care gives no thought to where their next meal is coming from or where their next little outfit is going to come from. They take it for granted. Little children take no thought for the morrow. Luke 11 verses 9 to 13. It's our next scripture. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That's the same attitude we ought to assume. My Father in heaven will take care of it. I just need to ask for my daily bread. Just like a child. Now, little Emma's favourite word lately has been toast. She knows where her bread comes from. Now, it's good. I'm happy as a parent to be the one to give that, to provide that for her. Right, but it's a humbling position for us adults to be in, for us to assume that same attitude towards God. Adulthood seems to presume a false sense of self-reliance. Self-willed is what I would call it, when you're trying to do everything apart from God. You're not likely to get very far either in your own strength. If you're not asking God, you need to. And if you don't get an answer, you do need to check that your prayers are worthy. Turn with me to James chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. It's a warning about being very considerate in our prayer, what we're actually praying for. I will is the motto of the world, and it's Satan's motto. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of saying, Lord, you will. You may get some strange looks. I know I've gotten strange looks from people in the world when I say that I'm trusting God for this and that. My guess is they probably think that I'm too lazy or incompetent to get after the things that I want. But bless the Lord, those people are welcome to worry themselves to death over tomorrow and where their necessities are coming from. They can spend all of their energy figuring it out rather than trusting from Almighty God who has power over all creation for these things. I know my God, and He is infinitely better at the how than I am or ever will be. Let's look at Luke 22, verses 7 to 13. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. I hope you can see here from these scriptures that the Lord has everything figured out already. He has every spiritual and material resource at His disposal. The Lord Jesus Christ knew how to fulfill this need for a place where they could eat the last meal with Him together. I don't doubt there were some among the disciples who were wondering about this detail ahead of time and perhaps even speculating how they themselves were going to accomplish it. When the time came, however, Peter and John were obedient. If they had spent their time instead prying the Lord with questions about all the finer points, or if they'd simply tried to figure it out off their own bat, I dare say they would have gone hungry. But they didn't. They listened and obeyed. And what a wonderful delight it would have been to see the Lord's predictions about the upper room come true. This is the kind of blessed life the Christian can expect who trusts the Lord. Things just fall into place. Sometimes we have to wait a little. The Lord uses delayed answers to prayer to grow our patience. We see that now in our church. But I've experienced this. The key is that good things come to those who wait on the Lord.